Welcome home, everyone. Thank you for joining in on this episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. Welcome Home is a podcast where I, your host Josh, sit down for a conversation with different people who I admire and discuss whatever's on their mind, and especially focus on life at home in times like this. Wherever you are and however you're listening, thank you for your support, and once again, welcome home. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining in on this week's episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. I don't know where you're listening, but where I am in Franklin, Tennessee, spring is here, and I am loving it. I have loved getting to get back to these weekly episodes with all of you, with our guests. Thank you if you've been listening to the last 2 weeks now. We had two of my uncles on the show, just kind of catching up and getting the ball rolling on the new rhythm of the podcast. And if this is your first time listening or your first time listening in a while, I'll let you know that we have new episodes of this podcast every week, Thursday at midnight. A new episode comes out, so please check us out there. Thank you for taking the time to press play. And thank you to those of you who support not only the show, but also Katina Ministries. There's lots of different ways that people support us, and I just want to do an all-encompassing thank you to all of you, our family and our ministry. So grateful for you guys. We don't take you for granted, and we think of you and pray for you often. So as we move into this week's episode, I'd like to welcome, for the third week in a row, one of my uncles, Uncle Yeti Katina. Uncle, thank you for being here.
Absolutely, Josh. Thanks for having me, man.
I've been looking forward to getting to have just a one-on-one with you. I feel like the last few times that we've done a podcast together where there's been other uncles or guests on, and but it's always a treat to just have one of my uncles here in the studio with me. And I guess as we start, I'll just ask you off the top, what's new with you? What's going on in the life of Sam Katina?
Man, a lot, actually. Before I jump into that, I wanted to ask you what year are we in our podcast, since we've been doing our podcast?
So we started in July of 2021. So
wow.
This July will be 4 years.
Yeah. Wow.
We're in our senior year.
Yep.
Yeah.
I remember that first podcast you and I, that I did. You and I ended up talking about aliens, I think.
Yeah,
And we also talked about Elon Musk.
Yeah.
That was way, way back. You said
2021.
Yeah. And now Elon is like a name that we're hearing a lot these days. But anyways,
we were talking about Elon before it was cool. Yeah,
exactly.
I should go back and listen to that episode.
Yeah. So, but with me, so we went through a very difficult time, as you know, Josh, last year. Caitlin and Jervon delivered a stillborn. You know, we were the whole family, you know, not just Auntie and I and Kate and Jervon and just our immediate family, but our extended family, man. Everybody was excited. It was July of last year when doctors couldn't find the heartbeat of the baby. And so, I mean, they brought in different machines to try to find the heartbeat. And it's just one of those things, Josh, where there was no explanation, you know. And since that happened, you know, we got online and we learned some stats about stillborns. Just 14 out of 1,000 births are stillborn. So, and then we just started learning about just other people that we knew, but that we didn't know that went through that. So that was, it was, you know, probably the hardest thing that we've ever been through.
Yeah.
I mean, you were there, Josh. We were in that hospital room with Kate and Jervon, and we got to hold the baby and for 5 hours. And man, it's a moment that can't even describe, you know. One of the things that I do want to say about that moment is in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the loss, there was a presence in the room that I felt, you know. It was a warm presence. I know it was God, you know, but just the family there, mourning together, going through the pain together. There's something supernatural that happens, I think, mm-hmm. when you're in that deep despair, but then you also feel the love of a family. So anyways, we're in this grieving season, but just recently we got a call from Caitlin again. They're pregnant again. So so man, we're excited again. But I think it's a unprecedented season where we're grieving, but we're excited at the same time. Yeah. And I feel like God understands it all. You know, we're just trying to take it one day at a time. But then we have a big wedding coming up too. Oh, Callie and Carson are getting married in May. So, man, it's there's a lot on our plates right now. But we're just taking it slow, just taking deep breaths throughout the day. And but it's fun. It's exciting. It's fun, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, I think messy would be a good word to describe maybe
the
season that you find yourself in. I think, not to make this about me, but I remember my parents growing up, they had like a small group of mm-hmm. friends with messy parents. Group. They call it the messy group. And just because life is messy and... I don't say that to minimize things, but really it is like, I feel like there's a lot of conflicting emotions and feelings and seasons mm-hmm. and that you find yourself in. And I wonder if you could speak on like how it is, what you feel like you're learning from God in through the messiness, through the grief and the sorrow and also the joy and expectation. Mm-hmm. Like, is there anything that God is speaking to you right now just that you're learning through that?
Absolutely, man. And I think some of these lessons, it's like I'm learning them for a second and a third time. Mm-hmm. So there is not like they're just brand new revelation, but it's the same, you know, surrender. It's surrender. It's you know, when you go through something like a stillborn, you're reminded that you are not in control. And, you know, for me and perhaps for people that are listening, man, you can relate to that struggle. You know, like, man, I need to be in control, you know. But when something like that happens, you're reminded of your limitations. And that we are indeed human, we're flesh, and we can do a lot of great things, but then there's also those moments where we're reminded that there's only one God, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm not Him, but I'm, and it's a great lesson to learn, because in the surrendering, man, I feel like as we do it, you know, over and over again, it becomes maybe a little more. Normal, like your go-to. I surrender because it's, man, I can't control that. And it's something too, Josh, for I think my daughters to see me in that posture mm-hmm. of surrender. Like, man, you know, Dad and Mom, they're not superheroes, you know? Yeah, man, it's been good. You know, we're just... I think just taking it one day at a time. I mean, I think back at that first podcast that we did until now, so much has happened, man. A lot has changed, you know? And so going back to the emotions, the different emotions that we have to navigate through, sometimes it's not like either or, it's both. But if we could just be patient with ourselves and just, you know, it's almost like eating a meal too. It's like the meal might look overwhelming, but just one bite at a time, you know?
I'm reminded of, I had a high school football coach who he said it all the time. And he was talking about football, but it applies to life, I think, is that there's really only two things that we can control: our attitude and our effort. We can control those two things. We can control the effort that we put in. We can control, we can decide what our attitude towards things are going to be. Everything else, we just have to surrender to God.
Absolutely.
And so, not that that makes things easy, or, but it is kind of, there is kind of a weight, I think, that can be lifted when you realize, I got to control my attitude. I got to control my effort. Everything else, it's not up to me. It's, it's not, not that it's not my problem, but really there's nothing I can do about most of what life is out of my control. And so
that's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. Did you say that one of your professors?
No, it was actually my high school, football coach, Coach Brian Rector. I think,
That
coach was his thing, attitude and effort.
Man, I love that. And, you know, as simple as that phrase is, attitude, and what attitude
and effort,
man. It's like those two words right there. They carry a lot.
Yeah.
I mean that, you know, you can say, well, I just need to have a good attitude and give a good effort. You know, but that's our part. You know, that's our part. And faith without works is dead. You know, so it's like, man, we can't just go, man, I'll just leave it up to God. Yes, we leave the part that we can't do ourselves, leave that part up to God. But, man, we got to get up, man, and make an effort.
Yeah.
Have good attitude regardless of the circumstances. And I don't know about you, Josh, but that's what I'm still working on.
Attitude and effort, that's enough on its own. Exactly. I don't know if I can handle anything else, to be honest.
Yeah. I had a good attitude, but didn't give much effort.
I do know, so this is going to come out on Thursday. So yeah, when this episode comes out, you will guys will be on your way, I think, to Paris, right?
A week from yesterday.
You guys will be getting ready to leave to Paris.
Yeah.
I'll ask you, because that's not a place you guys go very often. When was the last time you guys... We're in Paris.
Man, I couldn't even tell you, but I do know that we were there two other times.
Okay.
And I remember those two times where it was just in and out. We would get there, do the show, and come back. But this time around, the wives are going with us, you know, so that's why we're going to go a week early.
Nice. I wanted to ask, do you and Auntie Kathy have anything on your list? Like, oh, we want to see this, or we want to do this while you guys are in Paris?
You know what? I just watched... I can't remember the name of the Netflix about the USA basketball team.
Oh, Court of Gold.
Court of Gold. Yeah. I just watched that, and a lot of that was in Paris. Yeah. I saw all kinds of sights that I'm like, I got to go see that. But we have a friend, Tyler Spring, that used to live there.
I know Tyler.
And so Auntie called Tyler, and Tyler gave her a list of
places. Awesome.
And she also gave us a couple sentences that we should learn.
Oh, do you want to practice any of those?
Yeah, I do. I want to practice. Well, I don't know them yet, but I do want, because they said that Americans, you know, if Americans can at least do a couple sentences, you know, then they'll warm up to you. Otherwise,
it's the effort
and attitude. Yeah.
I've never been to France. Roscoe's entering the studio. Hey, yeah. Roscoe.
Hey, Roscoe.
I have always heard that about France, is that the people really appreciate if you at least try to speak French.
Yeah, we're going to try to learn a short chorus in French.
Mon Dieu est si bon. That's what I remember. That means God is so good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually the chorus that we were thinking of learning.
Yeah.
That one.
Okay. That's where I learned it, when you guys are trying to learn. Mon Dieu est si bon.
Did you learn that at Lee?
Oh, no. I learned that on YouTube. this is funny. This is how amazing the internet is. Mm-hmm. I looked it up, and there were this, it was this Filipino family.
Okay.
They were singing that song, God is so okay. good. They sang it in 8 different languages. Wow. So you could learn, there was English, Spanish, Tagalog, French, Swahili, Mandarin. They taught you how to sing it in 8 different languages.
Okay, so, okay.
I feel like that's a good phrase to know how to say in lots of different
languages. Well, I asked your dad, I said, can you just call somebody over there and make sure that it is worth our effort to learn this? Because if it isn't, then, you know.
If there are any French speakers out there and I'm saying Mandueci Bon the wrong way, please let me know, because I learned it from a Filipino family on YouTube. So I'm jealous you guys are going to Paris. I've always wanted to go. I know I'm going to go someday.
Yeah, yeah, you will.
And I'm excited to hear the stories, and I'm really glad that you and Auntie Kathy and my mom and the other aunties are getting ready to go, being able to go together.
Yeah.
I guess that will lead me into a different question I have about being a traveling man, but also being a traveling married man.
Mm-hmm.
And how long have you and Auntie been married now?
33 years.
So for 33 years, and Auntie have been married, and you've been traveling pretty much all of those years, right?
Yep, yep.
And I guess, do you feel like you're entering, now that your daughters are grown, and I know at least for my mom, this is true, that she's gotten to travel a little bit more mm-hmm. with my dad.
Yeah.
How does the dynamic change for you when Auntie Kathy's on the road with you?
Oh, it changes. It changes. Oh, man, but I love it. I mean, it just changes because, you know, I get up, like when I get up early to work out, now I got to be quiet because she's here. But I would just say the changes are, They're for the better, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love when I can have Auntie out. But there have been times where she wasn't able to come out, but one of the girls come out. And any family that come out on the road, I think it just makes the road way, way better. Yeah. And
I think it's interesting that, you know, the aunties are good to go to Paris, but I didn't see anyone line up to go to Detroit.
They don't go to Paducah.
They go to Hawaii. Paris. No, they've earned it. They've earned they've earned the right to pick.
One day we're going to tell them, hey, man, we're going to go to Paris, and we're going to take them to Paris, Tennessee.
Well, I'm excited for you guys. I hope, I know my mom and dad, I think they said, at least one day they're going to go spend at the Louvre.
Yeah.
See all the art there. And, I can't wait to hear the story.
Yeah, I want to see the Mona Lisa, man.
Yeah, I've heard you got to see it once if you get a chance. But, well, let me move back to you guys are also, with everything going on in your lives, you guys are also in a wedding season right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like less than 2 months away. Am I right?
Yeah, it's in May.
Callie and Carson.
Yep.
How's that? How's it going? This is your third daughter to get married.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it's getting any easier? You're getting any better at it?
You know what? I think so, Josh. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. I think like anything, you know, the first go around is nerve wracking. Mm-hmm. You know, but like you said, this is the third one, Callie and Carson and the young family, man. We've met Carson's parents and his grandparents and really the whole family, and they are just a great family. Mm-hmm. Just real. I mean, we knew the family since Callie and Carson were in elementary. They were in the second grade together.
Wow.
And so when Callie said, "Dad, I'm dating somebody. You know him." He was in the field trips that you used to come on.
Wow.
And I said, really? She goes, Dad, the redhead. I go, oh, the redhead. Yeah, there was only one redhead, Carson Young. Yeah, so, but it's, man, just getting to know their family and them growing up in the same town. You know, I feel like, man, a lot of the same values, same, mm-hmm. you know, same standards. So we're looking forward to it. And Carson's parents, they live in our subdivision.
Yeah. You know, oh, really?
So, I didn't realize. They live in Fieldstone. So, man, this time around, I feel like Kathy and I have learned so much from the previous ones, and we're able to relax more.
Can you tell me just one thing that you feel like you've learned from the first couple of marriage or weddings that you're carrying with you into this one?
Yeah, I think just the fact that the girls and you know, their spouses or their partners, you know, Jervon, you know, he comes from a whole different background,
sure.
you know. So I think, man, he's been gracious. And the Johnson family, we've been able to just, you know, the last, I don't know how many years Jervon and Kate have been married, but just getting to know the Johnson family has been a blessing for us. And just that whole process and two families coming together, you know, now we're doing it with the Youngs. And so I feel like it'll be a little smoother this time. And by the time Courtney gets married, man, it should be just smooth sailing. We'll see.
Well, that's awesome. And Callie or Carson, if you're listening to this, we love you. I'm excited. Alexis is making me buy a suit for your guys' wedding. So get ready.
Nice.
It's going to be lime green.
Yeah, lime green.
let me ask you, this is completely different, Uncle Yeti. Okay. So yesterday, after we got home from church, Alexis started watching the show that I had never seen before. She's been watching it. Okay. And I just kind of heard it on in the background. And then I ended up getting... It drew me in. I sat and watched like two or three episodes with her. And while I was watching it, I was like, I feel like this is something my Uncle Yeti would watch. I'm going to ask him about it on the podcast. It's called, the name of the show is called, I think it's like Balin Around Town or something. But it's about this girl who, she's like 21 and she has Tourette's. Have you seen this?
Yes.
I knew you've probably seen it. Yes.
I think it's fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, Josh. I like that kind of stuff. It's just like it's rare, you know.
Yeah.
It's rare. And then just to find out a little bit about the illness itself, mm-hmm. you know, just to educate and it is. I mean, it's very informative to me, mm-hmm. and I just feel like I'm ready to meet people with different challenges, you know, on the road. And,
sure.
And so that's why it piques my interest for sure.
It made me feel a lot of gratitude for a lot of things that I just took for granted. Like the episode we were watching, it was this girl, Balin, and her, I think it's her boyfriend. They're like shopping for apartments.
Yeah.
And there were so many things that she had to think about with her apartment, like the stove, the kind of stove that they had. Cause there's some times where she could reach out and touch a hot stove.
Yeah.
They couldn't have glass in the shower and because she could hit the glass and break it. And I was just thinking, like, even little things like this is kind of funny, but there was one apartment she walked up to and it had like one of those old button doorbells on the front door. And she just started ringing.
Yeah.
She like couldn't stop herself.
Yeah, yeah.
And she, before she even walked in, she's like, we can't move here. I'm not going to be able to walk in the door without doing the doorbell.
Isn't that crazy, man? Just like the little things that we all take for granted.
Right,
man.
Right.
It's and so I give props to her boyfriend. I don't know if it's if they're actually engaged, but for him to, you know, to be with her, mm-hmm. you know, it takes a special person
definitely.
You know, I think even, you know, Auntie is a special needs assistant at a school. And so we've learned about a lot of conditions, different conditions and our hearts go out to parents too, that have, some of them have multiple kids with their, like, whether it's, you know, Asperger's, whatever the situation is, man, I think, man, it takes a lot of love, and so I just appreciate families who are going through it, man.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you then, because I feel like you have a very unique taste in television. What are some shows you're watching right now?
Man, I think I watch a range of them. Oh, okay, there's this show on, I think you and I talked about it, but it's called You Can't Say That. And it's a show that was filmed in Australia. And each episode focuses on a certain demographic, like people with Tourette's, you know, or different conditions like that. There's one episode about little people, uh-huh. And so they all talk about what it's like to be a person in their shoes, So it's funny, like the little people on there, they're funny, man. They're like comedians, man. Yeah. the one guy, he's on there, he goes, I just hate when people come up, they bend down and they go, how you doing? and just a lot of stereotypes about different demographics that's out there. That's, I like watching that. That's one. And then, there's a couple shows that Auntie likes, so
okay.
I watch it.
What is it? Can you share what Auntie's into?
Oh, man. Well, there's this one. It's called Younger. Okay. It's called Younger. And, I won't say that I can wholeheartedly recommend it. Okay.
Yeah, Alexis and I, I'm trying to think what we've been watching. So she's been watching the Baylin Around Town show. Yeah. Alexis really loves like the reality love, like romance show, Love is Blind.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's been watching that. We've been watching together. Have you heard of the show? It's in its second season right now, Severance.
I've heard of it, but I've never watched it.
Okay, we've been watching that. It's do you remember the actor Ben Stiller?
Oh yeah,
he's actually, I think, the creator or the director of the show.
You know what? I've seen his name on other shows too. He's probably got into that role, the directing
he's doing a lot
or whatever.
Of like, executive producer, that Ben kind Stiller. Of stuff. Yep. But this is a show on Apple TV called Severance.
Okay,
and it's kind of like, I guess I would call it sci-fi.
Okay.
But it's not like Star Wars kind of sci-fi. It's like the whole idea of the show, if you're listening, you've watched it, then it's kind of hard to explain. But it's basically like a show about these people who work like a corporate job.
Okay.
But when they go to work, like when they literally physically walk into their office,
mm-hmm.
it's like their memories are severed. So when they're at work, they don't remember anything of their life outside of work.
Wow.
And when they're back in their normal lives, they don't remember anything that happened during the work day.
Mm.
And
interesting.
Yeah, that's a very like vague description of the show, but that's kind of the gist of it.
And well, what's so funny as you're talking about that, Josh, there's times when Auntie comes home, and I just mentioned that she's a special needs assistant, and she'll come home and she'll start talking to me. I'm like, excuse me, I'm not special needs. So man, that whole severance thing, like, man, that's crazy. Like you just leave work at work.
Right. Right. Wow. Extremely. Like you literally can't, these people, they don't even know what they do for work. They just know who they work for.
Wow.
It's really interesting. Okay. If you're looking for a new show, maybe you can check it out. It's on Apple TV.
Yeah.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I'll ask maybe one or two more questions for you. I know this is something that in the past I've tried not to. I've kind of had a fear of talking about it on the podcast, but I feel like I'm less afraid now and I'm more, I'm more comfortable with it. And I remember after the election this year, we all happened to be at your house the day after the election.
Okay.
We were supposed to be working. When was it? November
third or
we were supposed to be working. I remember you, me, and then you and the four of your brothers. We were all there, and I think we spent like 4 hours just talking about the election.
Yeah.
We didn't even we did no work that day. All we could do was talk about what we were watching and how we watched it. But I want to ask you. It's March now, so I think we've had a new president for a little over a month.
Yeah.
As a man, as a Christian, and as an American, what have you taken away from just this kind of season? I know they say the first 100 days are like the most important days of the presidency. It's when the most gets done.
Yeah.
What's your outlook on the way things have been going so far?
Man, it's a great question, Josh. And I feel like you, like I'm comfortable, you know, talking about it. And I think it's because we've had many conversations on our own, you know.
Yeah.
So now we can talk about what we feel like is important. Like, like we're constantly thinking about these platforms that we have and kind of how we want to protect the platforms, you know, the message that we want to send out there. So, but for me, man, I've just, even when President Biden was in there and there was a possibility of a President Kamala, you know, I mean, during those times, I was praying, you know, because the way that we read scripture, God wants us to pray for leadership, no, regardless of who it is, you know, So being that we prayed for President Biden for 4 years, now we're praying for President Trump. I personally have just been on the sidelines, just rooting for the new administration and a lot of the new policies. I mean, it's unprecedented what our country is seeing right now as far as. What direction are we going to? Yeah. Because it's like a whole, it's an overhaul, man. It's like we're a lot is being uncovered about the way that things have been going for since the beginning of our country. And so, I mean, and I'm seeing that there's a lot of chaos out there as far as people that agree with what's going on and people that don't agree. But my prayer is the same, man, just that our country would be prosperous, you know, and that there would be policies put in there that benefit the whole country, you know. But I do love President Trump's whole view on America first. I really get that because we have been helping a lot of people out there, but I feel like our help can be more organized. It can be more efficient. It can, and so I think that's what the new administration's trying to do. It's just like reset everything. You know, I mean, they're going like from one department to the next, and just auditing and trying to cut out all the, you know, all the access, all the fat, and what's being uncovered is there's a lot. There's a lot that should have been cut out a long time ago. So, man, I like how things are going. I mean, I think prices are still up there, but I'm just hoping that as a country, you know, I mean, the same majority that voted in November, you know, that they would hang in there. For these policies to take effect, and hopefully we'll start seeing some better days.
Yeah, I echo a lot of what you said, and I've also, one thing I've been thinking about a lot is even back during election season, you know, getting to travel with you guys, we get to go to all different kinds of churches, and you know, I've seen churches, Christians, where they're very vocal about their political convictions. And as far as literally sharing from the pulpit what they believe about politics. And then I've been to other churches where it's like sinful to talk about politics in church. And they don't want to touch it. And I understand both perspectives. Mm-hmm. I definitely do. Mm-hmm. And one thing that has troubled me during, you know, the election season and just this initial month or so of the new presidency is, you know, I feel like there is, I've seen people, I'll just say I've seen people who I'm like friends with on Facebook, people who I know and love, share things, basically like, if you don't agree with this political stance I have, please unfollow me, please unfriend me.
Yeah.
And to me as a Christian, I have never ever thought that someone's political beliefs was a valid reason for me to just cut them out of my life.
Yeah.
And, but the, and again, I'm not passing judgment on these people because they're people I know to be good people.
Yeah.
People that I know to have good hearts, people who love Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And, but them and I see things very differently, obviously.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious, like, what are your thoughts as an individual, but also as a Christian on like, what does God tell us to do when we disagree with people? When, what would you say? Because I feel like this is a place where that comes to a head a lot is politics.
Yeah, man. I'm, again, glad we're talking about this. But I haven't seen those posts, but I have heard about them. And, it just troubles me personally because I feel like as believers, we have to be able to take it all. What I mean by that is we have to be able to love people that think the way that we do, and we've got to be able to love and befriend and be around people that don't think the way that we do. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by so that means that we don't cut them off, you know, and you know what? I mean, I want to tread lightly on it. I think that there's people that have been hurt, you know, but whether it's by something the president has said or whatever, you know, sometimes even like the war of the parties, you know, that's all a part of somebody just going on Facebook and putting a post on there. It's that same, they're taking that same energy, you know, the fights in politics, man, you know, like I just don't look at, I mean, I feel like I continue to try to look at specific, topics, you know, and I just feel like as a believer, man, we should be trying to line up policies and to the word and compare it to what the word says, you know, and there's nothing perfect, you know, about any presidency. I mean, there's, you know, Trump's got his flaws and things that people don't like about him. But I think that, man, I'm still praying that our country starts feeling healing, you know, like, man, we start coming together again, man. I mean, just like we do sports, you know, like just last night watching the Lakers and the Celtics, one of the biggest rivalries. Man, we hate the Celtics, but we love the Celtics though, because we love the rivalry, you know. And it's like, man, why can't we do that in life, man? Why can't we all see that we differ on perspectives, you know, of certain things, but there's so much commonality that, man, we can build on, like, for the good of man, you know.
I will say too, and you might have mentioned it earlier in the podcast, but all the people in our church are currently in the middle of we're calling it a digital detox. It's just, we're taking a month to detach ourselves from our smartphones, basically.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I did to do that is I've deleted all social media from my phone. And it seems, I feel like I've noticed that there are times where I get stuck in this pattern of, I've got to know what everyone is saying about this one thing that the president did, or what everyone thinks about, you know, whatever's happening in Washington. And I've really enjoyed, like, not having to care what everyone has to say about everything that happens. And, and it's also helped me remember that, you know, life does not happen on Twitter and Facebook. Life happens out here. And, you know, I think it's easy to forget that, there's more to life than the news.
Yeah.
And there, you know, there, life is, in a lot of ways, life can be a lot more simple than we make it.
Totally. And, man.
I don't know. I think I know that the human brain was not made to have as much access to information as we do today.
Man, I agree with that, Josh. I totally agree. I feel like our brains are kind of like hard drives, right? Mm-hmm. Where a hard drive has the memory that it has. Mm-hmm. It won't take any more.
It's not infinite.
Yeah.
There is a limit.
Yep. So like my hard drive, man, like these days, man, I'm trying to do more puzzles and stuff to keep my brain active because, man, all the things I used to hear my parents complain about and like, oh, man, my memory and forgetfulness, all that, man, I can feel some of that, man. So I'm trying to stay active mentally.
Well, you're still sharp enough to sit down and talk with me, Uncle.
Thanks.
Thanks, Josh. Thanks for taking the time to be here and letting Roscoe shed all over you.
See, Roscoe knows my spirit. That's why he's all just chill right now, man. You just got to be chill.
Well, Uncle, I love having you here. Yeah, and thanks, Josh. We'll wrap up for today, but is there anything you want to share with our listeners or our audience at all before we finish?
Yeah, man. You know, I would say after so many years in my journey with the Lord, man, I think it's so exciting that God still teaches new things. Mm-hmm. And I always try to encourage people to stay open, man, and seek to understand before you seek to be understood. That's something I have to say to myself quite often, so I can have an awareness of people out there that are hurting, man. So thanks for the great job you're doing, Josh.
Oh, thank you, Uncle. It's my pleasure. To those of you listening, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back with more episodes soon. Have a great day.